Tango Tango Papa 1719, March 18, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Carlisle, Pennsylvania. So let's see, I unloaded early this morning up in, take your pick, it was either Sayre, Pennsylvania, or South Waverly, Pennsylvania, or Waverly, New York. The place I went to, the Cheese Factory, I think is what it actually was, is right on the state line. So part of their docks are in Pennsylvania and part of them are in New York. So anyway, I unloaded there early this morning, and then they sent a load. My break was over, and so they sent a load right away that picked up this afternoon at Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And that load is should be a drop and hook on the other end up in Toledo, Ohio. And so it's a good thing that it's a drop and hook, and it's kind of an anytime tomorrow type of thing, because it started snowing this afternoon, and it hasn't snowed a whole lot, but it's really, you know, it got really slushy, and the roads were sort of slushy and so on and so forth, even though they were out there kind of trying to maintain them well before the snow ever started. And so I just didn't want to deal with it. Now it's so I came to the Petro truck stop here at Carlisle. So now it's the snow has kind of changed to a drizzle, and I think the temperature is above freezing, but I would have had to go the load going to Toledo. They have it routed so that I would go north, kind of north out of Harrisburg up to Interstate 80, and then west on 80, and I think the northern part of the state might be experiencing some cooler temperatures, possibly, depending on the elevation. So I just didn't want to deal with it tonight, so I came to this Petro truck stop, and I went in and got something to eat, and I just now got back out to the truck, and it's the parking lot here is kind of a real mess, wet, snowy, slushy mess, you know, to walk through, because the snow that is there, they haven't scraped it or anything, and it hasn't had a chance to melt, so all these trucks have driven through it. So you've got these sort of slushy ruts that are sort of trapping the water, the stuff that is melting. And so, you know, if your shoes leak at all, like my boots do leak a little bit, my feet are a little bit wet just from walking from the truck inside and then back out here. It's actually quite a little walk, because this is a pretty good sized truck stop. So I'm just going to, as I say, I'm just going to hang out here and deal with it tomorrow. So the reason, you know, normally I haven't been putting out that many podcasts, but I kind of, you know, when I got to the receiver last night, it was about, I don't know, it was probably about 8 or 9 o'clock, so I had to, I went to bed fairly quickly, and I had a hard time going to sleep. I laid there, and I laid there, and I kept, you know, I had my Nexus 7 and so on and so forth, and I kept, you know, kind of looking things up, and I listened to things and so on and so forth, and I kind of broke my own rule. I looked at the Drudge Report headlines, and, you know, it had been a while since I looked, and I would have heard about it anyway, because I do get the headlines in email, and I do end up looking at those, but the thing was Cyprus. this thing with Cyprus. Cyprus, you know, has strong ties to Greece, but it's sort of its own country, and it's in part of the so-called Eurozone. And they, apparently, the way I understand the story, you know, Cyprus needed a bailout. You know, all these countries need bailouts anymore because they just love to spend money, way more money than they generate, basically. You know, they're spending, in other words, they're spending more value. They're addicted to spending more value than they create. Because, you know, money is simply a means of exchange. Of course, it can be corrupted since it's usually a physical means of exchange or it's an electronic means of exchange. But you have these credits that get transferred, whether someone's handing it to someone else or if it's just done electronically. But the real value of it is generated by people doing things. And so, all these countries are addicted to spending more value than they actually generate. You know, and if there were no people working, generating goods and services, generating value, therefore, there would be no value. And you could have all of the money in the world. You could have, oh, I've got billions and billions and billions of dollars in the bank. And it would be utterly worthless, meaningless, because there would be no one to back, you know, to the real backing value. You know, and you can try to talk to me about gold or whatever. If you're the last person in the world, no one's working, you know, the gold is pretty worthless. But the real value, the thing that puts the value behind it, is the goods and services that are being generated. And so Cyprus, you know, is addicted. Here they are, just like all these other European countries. Oh, everybody else is doing it, I'm going to do it too, type of mentality. Spend more money, you know, keep borrowing and spending and borrowing and spending and borrowing and spending until you can't do it anymore. Oh, we need a bailout. And so, you know, the terms of the bailout were that they came up with was that bank depositors in Cyprus would have to give up, I don't know, like 100,000. If you had an account, a savings account now, mind you, or I don't know how, you know, it could be a savings account or a checking account or some sort of an account. You have your money in the bank, and who doesn't these days? People put their money in the bank. You have to. You know, because all this electronic deposit and what have you, you have to have a bank account pretty much. I mean, there are people that get by without it, but for the most part, you have to have a bank account. So you got your bank account. You're a citizen of Cyprus or a resident of Cyprus, and you got your bank account. And so the bank, you know, the government decides, you know, your so-called leader decides, we're going to make this deal where we're going to take, if you have 100,000 euros in your account, we're going to take 10,000 of them. We're going to take 10%. And if you have under 100,000 euros, which I'd say there are probably a lot of people that have smaller accounts, a lot more than would have 100,000 or more, we're going to take 6.whatever%. So let's say it was like 6.3 or 6.6%. That's your money. You know, that, just think about that. That is, you know, it sounds, you know, they threw in the class warfare thing, you know, like, oh, these people have 100,000 euros. Well, they can afford to lose 10,000 of them. And then now they only have 90,000. You know, and but you poor people that are, maybe you have 1,000 euros in the bank in your checking account. Well, now you have, you got less than that. You know, they take 6.6% or whatever, which would be, I'd have to do the, that'd be like 600 and, no, I take that back. If you had let's say you have 1,000 euros and they take 6%, that would be like 60, I don't know, my brain isn't working right. I should get the calculator. But, you get the idea. Let's see. Well, if it was 1,000 euros and they took 10%, it would be $100. So, therefore, it would be about 60. They'd take $66. Just gone. Sorry, we're taking that out of your account. Too bad for you. that's getting kind of serious. That's dangerous. That is playing with dynamite. You know, and of course these Greek people, they don't have any guns. There's no Second Amendment. So they, you know, they don't have to worry about them, shooting anybody. You know, going after anybody. They'd have to go after them with a knife or something, or some kind of a pitchfork. And, of course, I'm sure the government's got all kinds of drones and God knows whatever else to put down any kind of uprising and so-called uprising. You know, and they're stealing stuff from the people. Just taking it. But apart from that, you know, they may get away with it. And other countries are considering it too. It may end up, that's dynamite, and it may end up, you know, even if they get away with it, it may end up causing, that's the type of thing that could cause really serious lack of confidence. It could cause real, genuine bank runs, possibly all over the world. That could cause bank runs, and that could be the beginning of the end. You know, they're ostensibly trying to avoid it, the collapse, and they do. You know, they this is really something stupid that they've done, just utterly stupid. So I just, you know, I felt compelled to do a podcast and talk about this, and you know, you may be in Canada, you may be in the United States or wherever you're at. And you think that can never happen here. That's some foreign country. That's Cyprus or whatever. That's not our country. You know, our country is, you know, our countries have in North America, we've got a history of being more stable, so on and so forth. Or maybe you're in Great Britain. You know, and you think, oh, we're more stable than that. We joined the EU, but we kept our pounds. We didn't take the stupid euro. You know, we didn't get rid of our own currency. We kept it. We have a special deal. Well, if a country like Cyprus does it, and France and other countries are considering it, that's a desperate measure. Now, you got to realize, you're taking people's money. You're taking it. In this case, it's easy. It's electronic. Just pull it out. Get rid of those zeros. Just take out some zeros. You know, that's money that people are paying their bills with or living their lives with. What kind of confidence does that inspire in the bank? I mean, and if this happens, I mean, if this is allowed to stand, how many people are going to continue to put their money in the bank or leave their money in the bank? They're not. The bank is going to collapse. Only an idiot, if they've done it once, only an idiot would continue to leave their money in the bank. You know, so in the meantime, they're all arguing, well, we're going to do it. No, we're not going to do it. We're going to change our mind. We're going to, you know, so in the meantime, the banks are closed. Oh, we're having a bank holiday. Isn't that nice? It's a holiday. They call it a bank holiday. It makes it sound so fun. It's a fun time. It's a holiday. Wonder if we're going to the beach. Maybe we'll go to Disney World, or we can go to Disney World, or what is it in France? There's a Euro Disney. Maybe they can go to Euro Disney and have a holiday. A bank holiday. Do you think Euro Disney's going to let them in for free without any money? I don't think so. So it's not so much of a holiday, but they call it that because they're trying to make people feel like, oh, it's just a holiday. It's something fun. It's really something wonderful that's happening. And so people can't get money. How are they going to eat? How are they going to live? So I just want to warn you. It can if it happened there, it can happen anywhere. You know, and I still think it's a good idea to have your food and have some, you know, maybe have some cash stashed somewhere, maybe on your person, whatever. Have a little cash, have some food, so that you're not just right out there on the edge. You know, and you wonder why is it that I feel compelled to warn people? Because it's so negative. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, most people think that I'm depressed or whatever, and I tell you, I'm not. I have peace of mind. I really do. But I do feel compelled to warn people. And I was listening, and I've been listening to the audiobook version of this Bible, and now I finally made it into the New Testament a little bit today. So I finally got all the way through the Old Testament. I haven't really been listening, you know, just until the last few days. I've been kind of doing it a lot more. There for a while, there was a big gap where I kind of didn't listen to it much. But it does, there's this one section towards the end of the Old Testament where it kind of talks about people that warn. People that feel sort of compelled to warn other people that, you know, that things are going to happen. And the warning is not so much, you know, because it's easy to misconstrue it. It's not so much you better have something to eat or save something to eat. That's good. I mean, that's just common sense that you do something like that, that you have your, you know, some kind of food and way to defend yourself and so on and so forth. That's just common sense. But more importantly, you're warned so that you face reality. You have the opportunity, while you're still alive, you have the opportunity to face reality. And if you don't, at least someone told you. You've been warned. Then if you don't, then it's on you. But if I sort of withhold it and I don't tell you, I just, oh, your pants are, you're walking around with your pants unzipped and I don't bother to tell you because I don't want to hurt your feelings or whatever, then, you know, I'm kind of complicit. But if I see that you're about to fall off the cliff and I don't warn you, hey, you're about to fall off the cliff, better look, you know, quit stepping backwards and, you know, just hold still for a while. And if I don't warn you, then I'm complicit in it. So I do feel compelled to warn people that, hey, you better face reality. You're much better off facing reality. And it also pretty much says, in so many words, that, you know, you're either going to face reality now while while you have the choice, while you're alive, or you'll face reality anyway, whether you want to or not. Even if you don't want to, you're going to face it. Someday you're going to face it. So it's much better if you face it and, you know, make friends with your conscience right now, right here and right now. Because it also talks about, you know, God talks about, you know, giving your soul rest. What does that mean? Giving your soul rest. Does it mean you sleep? Not necessarily, but it means that you just, regardless of the chaos that's going on around you, you feel good. You know, life is good. And it's not like you feel like you're about to die. But on the other hand, it also talks about some people will never get any rest. And it spends a great deal of time talking about some people will never get any rest. Some people are going to be destroyed. You know, you go through, listen to those Bible stories. It's just over and over and over again. There are people that are destroyed, just utterly destroyed. Some of them are, there's no trace of them ever. They're gone. They're, you know, whatever people they were, they're obliterated, and no one ever will ever know that they existed or know their names, or even the name of their society. And then there are other cases where there's, you know, little remnants of them left. And God has no compunction whatsoever. If there's a person, an individual, or a group of people, a society that is basically incompatible with the identity that their Creator offers, you know, in other words, they hate it, and there are people that hate it, they'll be destroyed. They just, you know, they're used, in fact. They get used, and then they just get destroyed, and no loss. Nothing to feel sorry about. So, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but I can tell you things seem to be continuing to sort of warm up. They're moving fast, sort of faster and faster. You know, and you may think, oh, Cyprus, never, you know, where's that? I'd have to look it up. I don't even know where it's at. I think it's part of Greece or something. It can't happen here. Turn on Dancing with the Stars. By the way, their ratings are way down. Wonder why. And there's this mini-series about the Bible that actually has really good ratings, which... That seems to be a hopeful sign, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe people, you know, there's a chance that people will turn around. There's a chance that that the people that are that certain people will kind of wake up and face the music. There's that possibility. It has happened in the past, and so it could happen now. But we will not emerge from this unscathed. You know, maybe you know, if enough people will kind of repent, use that word, kind of turn around, and you know, start to fly right, as it were. It's possible that the punishment that's being administered, the correction that is being administered, would be kind of turned off, but there's still going to be some sort of impact of it. If it were turned around, there still would be impact from it. But it remains to be seen what happens. So in the meantime, you know, you need your common sense. And if you don't have your common sense, you know, and it's right in the Old Testament. Give people over, you know, God will give people over to their delusions, you know, and let them sort of let their delusions run their course. It uses that word. So people do have delusions. They're delusional because they don't want to face reality. Right looks wrong and wrong looks right. That's delusional. And you can come up with all kinds of intelligent sounding excuses as to why right is wrong and wrong is right. In the end, it doesn't matter. It's not going to matter. Delusional is delusional. So, now is the time to begin to pay attention, if you're not already. Now is the time to face the music, to face reality. Now is the time to sincerely start to look for your creator. But it's going to get a whole lot rougher. Really, you know, as from my perspective, you know, the perspective that I have, nothing, you know, people have been sort of hardshipped or whatever, a lot of people have, but they're still in their little dream worlds. A lot of them are still delusional. No one's really popped their delusional bubble. You know, they've managed to kind of keep, many of them have managed, the majority of them have managed to kind of keep reality at bay. But that's going to become increasingly more difficult. So don't be surprised, since it happened, it seems to be happening in Cyprus, don't be surprised if you're in America. Don't be surprised if one day, soon perhaps, the government says, oh, by the way, we're taking 10% of your money. Or maybe they take 20%. We need it. We're out of money. We need yours. We need your retirement. Don't think that can happen? Check history. There is nothing new under the sun. This story, if you would actually read the Bible or actually listen to the audiobook version, which I suggest, that's good because it's good for me because I don't have time to read it and it's kind of hard to read. It's much easier to listen to. But it's the same story over and over and over and over again. Same sort of set of stories. There's variations of it. But it's the same basic principles are sort of behind all these stories. And all you have to do is just imagine, you know, because they're talking about Israel and Judah and Samaria and Ethiopia and so on and so forth. However, just imagine that they're talking about your country. They're talking about the United States right now. Or they're talking about Canada right now. Or they're talking about Cyprus right now. The story is the same. The principles are the same. The details may be a little different, but the principles are the same, and it's as predictable as the moon going around the earth or the earth traveling around the sun, so on and so forth. It's utterly predictable. So I warn you not so much out of fear that you're going to starve, because you may. You know, that's one of the ways, you know, the people that do wrong, you know, they make their graven images and their molten images. By the way, I need to look up and find out what the difference between a graven image and a molten image, because over and over and over again, they make the point of mentioning the two kind of in the same sentence, you know, but they're distinguished apart. Graven image and a molten image. I need to figure out what the difference is. But they make their graven images and worship strange gods and so on and so forth. And in the end, you know, some of them die by pestilence. Some of them die by starvation, and some of them die by the sword. War, disease, and famine. And those actually serve a purpose. Actually, they serve a very good purpose. Because why do you think they happen? It's unfortunate that they do, but they end up happening because people are rotten. They end up happening because people, you know, the root of the problem is human beings have this proclivity to want to play God. We have this proclivity to want to play God in our own minds. And that leads to sort of a wrong ego developing. You know, and it seems like it's just a little tiny thing that just kind of gets going in the wrong way. But, you know, a miss is as good as a mile. You know, it's kind of like being a little bit pregnant. Because it develops into this huge thing that results in destruction, death and disease. But those are actually good things. You know, from God's perspective, those are good things because it contains us. You know, there's verses in the Old Testament that talk about God using these different things to purify. You know, it compares it to purifying silver or purifying gold. And so it's sort of a process that we as human beings go through to be purified. And as I said before, I really do believe that the superior human being, the end result of the experiment, the end result, the superior human being, the fittest human being is going to be the human being that has his or her own God-given identity. They're their own persons. They're not wind-up robots that respond to pressure, that respond to bullies, bully government. Dysfunctional families, bullies and cowards in families. Strong before the weak, weak before the strong. It's a bottomless pit. And that's why it has to be contained. So my warning is, it's time to face reality. So anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. By the way, before I do that, Joel McLaughlin from the Life in Ohio podcast sent me a little, like a 1 minute and 25 second audio clip. I meant to play that in the last podcast and I kind of forgot about it. So here is Joel.
Hey Tom, this is Joel McLaughlin here from the Life in Ohio podcast. And I'm testing some new software here, and a new microphone here, called the iRig Recorder. The iRig itself is actually a microphone that attaches onto the bottom of a iPhone, iPad, or even an Android phone at this point, since the app was just released today. The iRig Recorder records directly to a WAV file, and then I took a program. If you look on the Android Play Store, there's a program called FFmpeg, and there's multiple programs called FFmpeg, but there is one that will have everything self-contained where you don't install another codec or anything, and you can convert the WAV file from the iRig program into a MP3 file. Of course, then you can install another program to FTP the file up to your server and post the podcast. iRig Recorder has several extensions that you can purchase that in the app that only cost $5. So I thought you'd like to check that out, and we'll talk to you again.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. And that's what you were using to record, it sounded pretty good. So does that plug into the, I guess, does that plug into the USB on the, like on an Android phone? Does that plug into the micro USB port, or does it somehow plug into the headphone jack? And I guess the same question would be on, let's say, an iPhone, you have a 30-pin, or does it have this new Lightning connector, or whatever it is that the iPhone has now, the iPhone and the iPod and the iPad have. I don't remember the name of the connector now. It's not Lightning. That's for the computer. I don't remember. But so anyway, I'm wondering, all I really care about is the Android version. Does it plug into the USB port? Now, the other, you kind of mentioned a problem. It records to a WAV file, and then you have to convert the WAV file, use another program to convert the WAV file into an MP3 file. That's kind of a problem. Now, I'm wondering if the iRig, if they would let you buy, let's say for $5, a program that would, or some sort of an extension that would let you record directly into an MP3 file. You know, then, that's looking better. That's kind of a problem. Now, that I have a program on my, that is available on Android, a free program called ASR Sound Recorder, and it actually does record to MP3 directly, and that's quite a feat, because there's a lot of, it's hard to find programs. If you go looking for programs that will record directly into MP3, they're kind of few and far between, and I think the reason is because MP3 is actually there's some sort of licensing fee involved with that, and so a lot of these companies don't want to mess with it, and so then you have to have some third, like a lame encoder, and to convert it. Now see what a Ubercaster is. I'm using Ubercaster here on my 13-inch MacBook. White plastic MacBook that I put the solid state drive in, and it makes its recording, but then when it has to render it out at the end, and it takes it 2 or 3 minutes. It depends on how long the recording is and how complicated it is, but it might take it it's going to take maybe 5 minutes sometimes. It just depends on how long and complicated the file is. pushes it out to MP3, and then it, you know, and then I've got it set up so that it automatically FTPs it to my server. And so even on the Mac, it's difficult to find programs that'll record directly to MP3. So and the same thing is true on a PC. So that's the problem. If you can find a program that will record directly to MP3, that's really the best way to go, because that's really, you know, the podcasts, that's really what you know, the format of choice is MP3 for podcasts, or at least for audio podcasts. So anyway, thank you, Joel, for that. That did sounded pretty decent. So anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.